I'd like for you to turn to the book of Jonah, chapter 4, and let's stand, please. Jonah, chapter 4. Jonah, chapter 4, and we're going to read the entire chapter. It has 11 verses, so we'll begin at verse number 1. Jonah chapter 4, and in verse number 1. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. And he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled before unto Tarshish, for I knew that thou art a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil. Therefore now, O Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. Then said the Lord, doest thou well to be angry? So Jonah went out of the city and sat on the east side of the city, and there made him a booth and sat under it in the shadow till he might see what would become of the city. And the Lord God prepared a gourd and made it to come up over Jonah, that it might be a shadow over his head to deliver him from his grief. So Jonah was exceeding glad of the gourd. But God prepared a worm when the morning rose the next day, and it smote the gourd that it was withered. And it came to pass when the sun did arise that God prepared a vehement east wind, and the sun beat upon the head of Jonah that he fainted, and wished in himself to die, and said, it is better for me to die than to live. And God said to Jonah, doest thou well to be angry for the gourd? And he said, I do well to be angry, even unto death. Then said the Lord, thou hast had pity on the gourd for the which thou hast not labored, neither madest it grow, which came up in a night and perisheth in a night. And should not I spare Nineveh, the great city, wherein are more than 60,000 persons that cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand, and also much cattle. Brother Roger Bell, would you pray for this message, and everybody can be seated.
Your wonderful word, Lord, yeah. As that song said, it's a mirror, it's a reflection.
Yes,
it's you speaking to us, and we thank you so much for your words.
Yes.
At any time in our life, we can open up this Bible, open up your words, and let you look into our hearts and our souls and show us what we need to change with it. Lord, I thank you for just to be able to have it and open it up. Mm-hmm. Lord, I ask you to speak to us now. Give Brother Dennis the words that you want him to have,
please,
your words, not
please,
his.
Please.
Help just to open us up and to clear our minds and help us to just put the world out, shut the world out for a few minutes, and let you speak to us.
Yes, Lord.
We love you, we praise you, and we thank you so much for being the merciful, gracious God.
Yes,
Lord.
Yes.
When we so pitifully make it through this world.
Yes,
Lord. Lord, we love you. In Jesus Christ's name we pray.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. You can be seated. One of the great stories in the Bible is the story of the prophet Jonah. Most of you are familiar with the story, but I want to take a moment to refresh your memory in case it's been a while since you've read it or heard somebody preach on it. Jonah, of course, is an Old Testament prophet. He's commanded by God to go to the city of Nineveh, and the Bible says he's commanded by God to cry against it, preach against that wicked city. Jonah instead disobeys God, and he goes down to the city of Joppa, and he boards a ship heading for Tarshish. While on the ship, a great storm comes up, and Jonah is then forced to tell the shipmaster that he is the cause of the calamity, and that the only way to stop the violent, deadly storm is to make sure they throw him overboard. After a desperate attempt to fight the storm, it is concluded that the only way the crew can survive this storm is to throw Jonah overboard, and that's exactly what they do. A great fish comes along that is identified as a whale in the book of Matthew by our Lord, and it swallows Jonah up. The Bible tells us that Jonah is 3 days and three nights in the belly of a whale. Jonah cries out for mercy, and the great fish vomits him out of on the dry land. Don't you like the clear, precise language of the King James Bible? He vomits him out on the land, the dry land. And Jonah then decides he's going to head to Nineveh after all, and he preaches a simple message to the city. And the message is to this wicked city, basically, 40 days and it's all over for you, man. 40 days and God's going to destroy this thing. And you know what happens? Something great happens. The whole city repents. God spares that wicked city. Now he destroys it later. You read about his further prophecy against that city in the book of Nahum. But at the moment they repent, God spares the city. Everybody gets right. And you know what? A prophet of God would love something like that to happen now, wouldn't he? But not Jonah. Jonah didn't like it at all. Now we get to our text this morning, chapter 4. And we see that Jonah is angry with God. He's very angry with God. The Bible says in verse number 1, but it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. And I can tell you that after many years in the pastorate, I have encountered many Christians who are angry with God. I'm sure that there may be some here today that you are in the same boat, no pun intended, as Jonah. It is my prayer that you get some help this morning. And I want you to get some victory over your anger. And I have just 2 points this morning. Number one, I want us to look at Jonah's reasoning. The reason why Jonah was angry with God. And I want us to look at God's response. And listen. This is a very common problem among many Christians. And some of you would never verbalize it. You think somehow because you have it hid in your heart that it's not there because you haven't said it. Well, I've never said I was angry with God. I've never said I was upset with God. But God knows it. And let me just tell you something. We serve a merciful, gracious, loving, kind God. Do you know that? He's not up there with a ball bat ready to bust you in the head with it and get you about something. But he does want you to be right, and he does want you to get some help. And you know the 2 things your pastor wants for you this morning? I want you to be right with God, and I want you to get some help. So if you can understand this message, it'll be a big help to you, a very big help to you. And so that's what I'm preaching on this morning. I'm preaching on this. The prophet that was angry with God. So here we go. First of all, I want us to look at Jonah's reasoning. Jonah's reason. Why was Jonah so angry with God? First of all, let me back up and tell you something that you need to understand. Jonah is commanded to go preach to the city of Nineveh, okay? Now, Nineveh was the capital of the city of Assyria, of the Assyrian Empire, and it was the largest city in the world until it was conquered later by the Babylonians and the Medes. It is located in northern part of modern-day Iraq. That's where this big city was located. Now, these folks were pagans. They were not good people. They worshipped, one of their gods was the fish god, Dagon. They worshipped him. Listen to me now, they were enemies of the Jews. They were very vicious people. They were known to be very brutal to their captives. One thing that they would do is recorded in history, is that the Assyrians, if they came in and they captured somebody, they would skin them alive, and then put their skin on the outside walls of a city to scare off their enemies. So before anybody in here gets on the bandwagon and jumps, I can't believe Jonah acted like that. I can't believe a prophet, a man of God, would feel that way. I can't believe he'd be upset. You just better pipe down a little bit. Can you imagine living amongst those people that hated him? And listen, it wasn't 70 or 80 years or ever how many years later it was. They were going to come in. Of course, they come in and they invade the northern tribes, the 10 tribes of Israel. And they take them captive. And then the Babylonians come in later to take the southern tribe. But here's the problem. He knows how wicked they are. He's seen that. He's sensed that. He knows that they're enemies, that these are wicked people. And you know what God has asked Jonah to do? God has asked Jonah, go to those people and preach to them so they can have another chance. So before anybody in here gets upset with Jonah about his anger toward God, you better just watch it. The old Indian proverb is, don't judge a man till you walk a mile in his moccasins. I'm not condoning his attitude. It was wrong. I'm preaching against that today. But it's very easy for us to get on the bandwagon. We can't understand what he must have been feeling in his heart and his mind when God tells him to go. And he reveals later why he's so upset with God. Rather, why he didn't want to go preach to him. Because he tells you later, he says, the reason I didn't want to go is I knew you were a kind God. I knew you were a gracious God. I knew you were a merciful God. And I knew if they would repent, you were going to forgive them. And I didn't want you to do it. Because they're so vicious and wicked people, such wicked people. And Jonah knew that. He knew the people would, if they repented, God would spare them. So why was Jonah angry? Number one, three reasons why he was angry. Number one, he was angry because God wasn't angry. Jonah was angry because God wasn't angry. He wanted God to look at things like he did. I think they ought to go down. You ought to think they ought to go down. I think they've done a bunch of bad stuff to us. I want them punished. You ought to want them punished. But what Jonah didn't realize, and listen, anybody in here that's experienced this before, this anger with God, or if you're angry with God here this morning, what you have to understand is Isaiah chapter 55, verses 8 and 9, when God says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. You are never going to get God to look at things like you look at it. We are supposed to be trying to look at things like God looks at it. But here's the problem. You can go to that Bible and find out how God looks at things. But if the Bible doesn't mention it, many times God thinks about things way different than we do as humans now, doesn't he? Didn't he say that? He said, my thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. They are past finding out. And you can't even begin to understand me. I'm past finding out. And so Jonah was angry with God because God wasn't angry with the Ninevites. He wanted God to see the thing like he sees it. And maybe I'm preaching to somebody here this morning. You're upset with God. You're upset with God because God doesn't see the thing like you see it. And you say, if he would have saw the thing like I saw it, or like I see it, he wouldn't have allowed what he allowed. Number two, he's angry with God because of God's mercy toward the undeserving. Why does God take good people? And why does God leave the bad? By the way, that's the theme of the book of Job, isn't it? Why do the righteous suffer? That is it. Because of God's mercy toward the undeserving. There's probably somebody I'm preaching to here this morning. And if you'll be honest, you're upset with God. You're upset with God. And this is difficult. I don't like to, I want to help you. But you're upset with God because you can think of 100 people that ought to be dead right now. And the one that he took should be alive. I mean, in your reasoning, don't you? I'm like that. I think that. There's some good preachers that just died with COVID. But he leaves Benny Hinn and Kenneth Copeland. I mean, if you're going to get into killing business, kill the fakers. Kill the distorters of the gospel. Kill the people that's messing folks up and damning their souls to hell. Don't kill these good preachers. But you know what the problem is? God don't look at it like I look at it. He looks at things different. He sees something different. You say, why in the world would he take some of these good preachers and leave folks like them? Because God is long-suffering toward the evil. And Jonah knew he was long-suffering toward the evil. That's why he didn't want to go there and preach. He knew if these people responded to that preaching, God would be merciful on them. And that's why he didn't want him. So Jonah's angry with God, number one, because God isn't angry. Number two, because God's mercy toward the undeserving. And number three, because of the suffering God had and would allow. Sometimes we get angry with God because he allows suffering in our lives or in somebody we love lives. Do you know what I heard Dr. Ruttman say many years ago? Many years ago, I heard Dr. Ruttman say this. He said, many times when somebody backslides on the Lord, it is because they're angry with God. Let me repeat that. I don't usually come down. I'm going to come down today and make it a little bit more personal. Brother David walked out there on the edge. So I reckon I can walk down here. Dr. Ruttman said, many times when somebody backslides, it begins because they're angry with God. Now, I've already talked to Brother Tim, and he's given me permission to tell this. When this began to burden my heart, and I knew what the Lord wanted me to preach, I remember something that Brother Tim had told me and we talked about. So I think it's worth mentioning. And he said, yes, if you can tell it and it helps somebody, tell them. Now, Brother Tim, as you know, Brother Tim Jones is a preacher's boy. And his daddy actually was a preacher of this church many, many years ago. And most of you know, because Brother Tim's given his own testimony, he was raised right, good mama, good daddy in church. He went and rebelled. He went out in the world, spent many, many years out in the world, living a wicked life. His body bears the marks. He's suffering from it now. Thank God, hallelujah, God sent us that day, and we met him in the yard and talked to him, and he's come back and cried many times at this altar, and he's been right where he's supposed to be. Now you say, how can a fella get in all the mischief and get in all the mess that he got into and do all that wicked stuff that he did when he was raised in a home like he was raised in and had a mama and had a daddy like he had? Listen to me now. Listen, I'm going to tell you what that man sitting right there told me one day. When he was 18 years old, he had a sister that was 21 years old, and he loved her, and she was a good woman. She was a good Christian woman, and she did right. And Tim said God took her at 21. And you know what Tim told me? The man sitting right there, and he told me I could tell this to help you. The reason he's hurting his body and got all this stuff in his mind and all, and he'll go to the grave with scars from living out in that world, is when at 18 years old, he loved his sister. God took his sister. He got mad with God, and he said, fooey on the church, fooey on God, fooey on mom and daddy. If they believe that stuff, I'm going to go out and do my thing. You know why he did it? Not because he was wicked and trying to do bad. You know what messed up his life? He got upset with God because he knew that if God ought to take somebody, he ought to take you, not your sister, not your sister. Didn't you know that, Brother Tim? Didn't you think that? And that's what messed up his life. By the way, thank you. I think that you allow me to tell this is going to help somebody here today. And maybe you haven't thought about that. Maybe you don't know that. And I'm telling you the same thing it did to that brother right there. If you don't get a hold of this morning, it's going to do to you. You know why people get angry with God? Because for whatever reason, he allows people to suffer that don't seemingly deserve to suffer. But he allowed his son to suffer. Do you think his son ever deserved to suffer? And he suffered because of us. Now, the Bible talks about the sufferings of Christ. And everybody wants to wear the little bracelet, WWJD. What would Jesus do? What would Jesus do? I'll tell you what Jesus did. He suffered. You want to be like Christ, do you? You want to follow in the steps of Christ? You want to have the mind of Christ? You want to walk the path of Christ? Okay, do you know what that involves? Suffering. And I tell you, furthermore, is suffering unjustly. Now, we all deserve suffering. I know that. I know we all deserve suffering, but in the human realm, as I know we're all sinners, but in the human realm, some of us get stuff that we don't necessarily deserve. The rain falls on the just and the unjust. People get cancer. People get sickness. Good people, loving people, people that love the Lord, people that care about God very much, people that are good. And they get sick and they die and they suffer. And I don't, listen, I'm back yonder at that verse out of Isaiah. His ways are not my ways. His thoughts are not my thoughts. You want to sit down and talk to me, do you? And say, well, you've been in the ministry a while. You've been through the Bible several times. You've been to Bible college. You've studied it. You've counseled it. What do you say about it? I ain't got a clue. God didn't tell me. But it's the ultimate thing of, do I trust him or not? Is he right or not? There's going to be so many things in your life that's going to happen that you're not going to understand. And it's not going to seem right. And it's not going to be good. And it's going to be from a bad perspective. And I'm telling you, if you don't be honest with God and tell him, you're going to be in the same shape Jonah was in. And it might take you on the same road it took Brother Tim on. That's the reasoning. That's the reasoning for God's, for Jonah's anger at God. Now I want us to look at God's response. Take just a few moments and look at God's response. First of all, God's response was not a harsh rebuke. Not at all. It was a question. Do you have a right to be angry? That's what he said there in verse number 4. Then said the Lord, doest thou well to be angry? Now, he asked Jonah this two times in this chapter. The first time, Jonah doesn't answer it in verse number 4. But in verse number 9, he asked him again. And God said to Jonah, doest thou well to be angry for the gourd? This time over the gourd, because God took the gourd away. And he said, I do well to be angry, even unto death. Now, you know what he's gotten to at that point? He's gotten bitter. What is your answer? Do you do well to be angry, even unto death? Now, I want you to notice two things. Of course, there's four things God prepared, but I want to look at the fact that God prepared a gourd and then God prepared a worm. And you got to get a hold of this, because listen, this is very important in understanding how God is handling you being angry and upset with him this morning. First of all, God prepares a gourd, verse number 6, and he does that to protect him from the sun. And the Bible actually uses this phrase, to deliver him from his grief. Even though God knew that, listen to me now, he knew that Jonah was wrong, he knew that Jonah was responding wrong, he still was concerned about Jonah's grief, because even though he's not condoning it or saying that he's right, God understands the frailty of man. He knows that we're just dust. He knows how we are. He knows that we don't know what he knows. He knows that we're sinful people. And the gourd was there for a time. Jonah was given time. And the gourd was there for protection. He was vulnerable and he was weak. And the gourd was there for his grief. God knew he was grieving. So what I want you to notice is there's a time when God gives him the gourd. He's not blessing sin. He's not condoning sin. I don't even know if this is the right word. I guess I just use it like this. He's understanding it. Not, he's not excusing it, not condoning it, but understanding where he is. God, listen, God responds with mercy. He responds with patience. He responds with understanding. He never condoned Jonah's behavior, but he saw his frailty. And I think maybe God saw why a sinful man might be angry in this situation. Everybody look up here at me. God, your anger with God this morning is not justified. Your anger with God this morning is wrong. But you have a God in heaven that can look down at a sinful human being like we are, and he can see why you might be angry. Do you understand that? He's not waiting to jump on you. Well, if I come out and say that I'm angry with God, he's going to kill me. Man, he already knows it. If I come out and say I'm getting bitter about this situation, I mean, what's God going to do? What could he already have done? He knows what's in your heart. Do you know what God's waiting for you to do this morning? He's waiting for you to come clean. And if you don't come clean, he can't help you. And he wants to help you. The first thing that he does for Jonah in his anger toward him isn't jump on him, isn't preach a message to him, isn't tell him, after all I've done for you, I can't believe you'd be like this toward me. You know what our God in heaven does? He sends him a gourd to protect him in that heat. He gives him time. He just says, you need some time right now. You need some time to work through this stuff. Here's your gourd. Here's something that'll comfort you. You know, you read in that passage where Jonah said, it says he was exceeding glad. He was happy when God gave him the gourd. But I want you to notice something now. This all goes along. Here we go. God prepared the gourd. But then number two, I want you to notice the next thing God does. He prepares the worm. Listen now, the same God that gave him that gourd sent the worm in there to kill the gourd. You say, well, what does that mean and how God's responding to Jonah? He prepared the worm. Listen, and you see this in verse number 7. Jonah goes from being exceeding glad to being suicidal. He goes from being exceeding glad to suicidal. Here's a very important point. This may be the most important point in the message. Everybody, please listen to this, if you will. I'm just going to read it so I don't mess it up here. God gave the gourd as a symbol of his patience and him giving Jonah time to deal with his anger. But after a certain time, God took the gourd away because it was time for Jonah to move on. You got it? You see that? God sent the gourd. He said, okay, you've had a rough deal here, man. You've had a rough deal. I understand. You're not right, but I'm a merciful God. I'm a loving God. Here's the gourd. I'm going to protect you from the sun. I'm going to give you some time to mull this thing over. Listen, he even come to him twice. He come to him one time, and Jonah didn't even answer him about why he was angry. He comes to him again. He said, you think you're still right to be angry about this? God didn't jump on him. He sends the gourd. But you know what God does? Listen to me now. What God does says is he says, okay, now I'm being patient with you. I'm being loving with you. I'm being kind with you. I'm going as far as I can with you. But just like I gave you that gourd, I'm sending the worm to kill the gourd because now it is time to deal with this. And you know what we've come to here this morning? It's no accident that you wound up here for this message because now it has come time for you to deal with it. And the gourd's fixing to be gone. Now the book of Jonah ends with God telling Jonah that his reasoning is messed up. He says, you have pity on the gourd, but not on the people. And God says, why shouldn't I spare the small children who don't know the difference between good and evil? You just want me to go out there and wipe out everybody? Now, when the book of Jonah ends, the ball is in Jonah's court. Wouldn't you say that? When the book of Jonah ends, God has done and he said what he's going to do. And he's thrown the ball and he's put it in Jonah's court. And that's how the book of Jonah ends. And unfortunately, there's no indication in the book of Jonah that Jonah got right. Now, maybe he did. Me and Dr. Walker was talking about this passage, and Brother David sort of feels like he did get right. And maybe he did, because there are a couple of things you'll think about. Hey, Brother David mentioned this. He said, after all, he did author the book. And then I thought about this. I thought about, yeah, when you get over there to the New Testament, the main preacher that Jesus Christ mentions and says, you know, this is what it's going to be like as Jonah was, 3 days and three nights in the belly of the whale, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. So hopefully those are some indications that later on down the road, he got it right. I mean, it doesn't say that, though. I hope he did. I hope he did. I hope Jonah was able to get it right with the Lord before he went to meet him. I hope he did. Now, listen, we're closing this message. If we are all honest here this morning, we can understand Jonah's reaction, can't we? Given the history of those wicked folks he was going to preach to. But here, let me tell you what the problem is. Listen to me, folks. The problem is that Jonah didn't realize how much mercy God has showed on him. Before we get so upset about what God's doing and isn't doing, do you see the hypocrisy in Jonah? Listen, he is mad because God wants to give these people repentance, Yet he is a prophet who purposely disobeys the command of God. Aren't we like that all many times when we get bitter with God or bitter with somebody else or angry with somebody else? We try to find fault with God or try to find fault with somebody else and try to be bitter and unforgiving and resentful of somebody else, but we neglect to see our own problems. And that'll mess you up every time. Mess you up every time. The problem is that Jonah didn't realize how much mercy God had shown on him. He just didn't. And Jonah had the same problem we all have. He was looking at a situation through the eyes of a man and not the eyes of God. And folks, I'm just going to tell you this morning, we're never going to fully understand why God does what he does or allow what he allows until we meet him in the clouds. And then it won't even matter anymore. You know that? It won't even matter anymore. But as for now, it's simply a matter of trust. I'm going to make it real simple. It's just a matter of trust. And here's the thing this morning, church. Do you believe God is always good and always right, even when it appears that he isn't? Do you believe God is always good and always right, even when at times in your human reasoning, it doesn't look like he is? You have to ask yourself, Maybe the Lord just used this message this morning because he wants the ball to be put in your court. He's been patient and loving towards you. He's been patient and loving towards you in your anger toward him. But this is the morning he wants you to deal with it. Now, some of you may be sitting out there this morning and you say, "Preacher, how do I deal with it? Preacher, I agree with you, but it's there. How do I deal with it?" Well, you got to come clean. You just got to be totally honest with God. You got to tell him how you feel because God already knows. You got to spend time in the Bible and on your knees because that's the only way you can even attempt to get God's view on anything is through his word. And you got to remember that it could be a process. You need to get started healing today. And listen, you have to remember this. If your anger with God isn't dealt with, it's going to ruin your life. Do you understand that? You'll be bitter, you'll be angry, you'll be cynical, you'll be fault-finding, you'll be a fault-finding Christian who eventually never come back to church, and you'll never open up your Bible again. But God wants to help you this morning, and you need to come talk to him reverently, but honestly. Tell him that you know you're wrong, but you just can't let it go. And ask him to fill your heart with love. The Bible promises that a broken and a contrite heart, God will not despise. Every head bowed and eye closed. Even now, as Brother Mark walks toward the piano, if this message was preached for you, would you come to the altar? Would you pray?